We have been and are continuing in a conversation called I Want to Quit. And here's why we have started this, or continuing this year. We're in a year of radical devotion, which I'll explain to you in just a minute. But I believe it's important to know where we're aiming at, to know what our targets are, and here's why. Because some of these targets, we need to choose ahead of time what we're aiming at. Because in the middle of trauma, in the middle of a whirlwind, in the middle of disappointment, in the middle of pain, is the worst time to make a major life decision. The best time to make a difficult decision is when that difficult decision isn't upon you, right? So like right now, at my house, I've mentioned this before, our TV is fading. So if it's the middle of the day and we're watching like a night scene, you're kind of squinting because nothing's quite bright enough. And we have made the decision that we don't need a new TV. Why is that important? Because this next week I have to go to a store. And I walk in the store, guaranteed they have a wall of big, beautiful, bright, vibrant TVs. All saying, David, you need me. You need me. And you know what my heart's going to be saying? I do. I do need you. I need something bright and shiny for me to watch the same movie that I've watched 20 times on. I need something new to do it. But ahead of time, if I make the decision, this isn't fiscally responsible. And by the way, you don't need, you want. Two different things there. Because I know this, the direction of my life is based on the quality of my decisions. So why don't we make decisions before the quality of our life has all of a sudden started going downward? How about I make my quality decisions ahead of time? Because we make our decisions and then our decisions end up making us. So we are trying to figure out what we want to quit, or what we're really talking about is what we want to aim at. Because we have chosen in this year to live a year of radical devotion to God. What would it look like if every morning you woke up and just said, God, how can I glorify you today? What would it look like if one church, what would it look like if one people group actually prioritized God in their life? Don't you think a region, a city, if not a state or a nation could be changed? And I believe so. And so we're living this life of radical, hey. Woo! Let's get the worship team back up here. For those watching afterwards, you have no idea what we're talking about. But we are still glad you're listening to our podcast. Here's one of the reasons that I'd really like to lean into today's conversation. So I talked to Pastor Aaron this past week, and I told him I'm ready to scrap the rest of the sermons for the rest of the year that we have planned. Because for some reason, every time I pick a subject that we're going to preach on, God thinks I should go through a deep soul dive. I'm serious. Like, I honestly didn't think I had a problem with, like, unforgiveness that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Basically, I don't live in the past. Some of you, how you're always, like, replaying the past. Once the past happens, I move on. And like, it's so bad. Like last night I was at a birthday party, and the gentleman that I was at the birthday party, he's a little older than I am. I was saying, hey, what do you remember about past birthdays? He's like, I really don't remember. And I had to tell him a secret that my mom doesn't even know. And it's sometime years ago, we were in Florida for one of my birthdays. Those online, mom just stood up and she's about to know this. And so this gets really awkward. Yeah, Mom, I didn't think you made it to church today. I told you to wait in the car. And so, but there's a Pac-Man birthday cake, the famous Pac-Man birthday. And here's the truth. I don't remember the birthday at all. The only thing I remember is the photograph that she always shows me, telling me how much I love it. Because I just don't live in the past whatsoever. I don't know if that's you. And so when it came to unforgiveness, I didn't think I had a problem with unforgiveness till I preached on unforgiveness. And here's what I personally realized about myself. And I want to realize this in a year of radical devotion. I want God to continue to do stuff in my life. And so what I realized is I actually don't hold unforgiveness for people, but I do have in my heart one spot for unforgiveness, and someone stays there till the next person comes and replaces them. And what I found was I don't struggle with unforgiveness. I struggle with forgiving a person. But don't worry. If you're on my naughty list, just have to wait for someone else to knock you off. Like, so you go off. But it was because I didn't think I dealt with this. And it was interesting because, like, this week it's feeling empty. And I thought I did pretty good on this until I got into it. And then God, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to cancel all sermons for the rest of the year. Starting next series, we're going to start with God Make Me a Millionaire. Right? God Make Me 6'4", 235, 8% body fat, and just gorgeous locks. Like this is... So, yes, I want to be Dwayne Johnson or Jason Momoa. I'm good with either of that. Cammy, do you? My wife has a preference. You know, let's get back to what we're talking about. It's Jesus. So if God takes me through everything, might as well benefit myself of, well, wait a second, it is benefiting me. Because the deepest, longest journey you will ever take is in you. And if our guide along the way is the Holy Spirit, some powerful things can happen. And so our future, here's what we need to do. We need to decide in this moment how we're going to respond when that moment shows up. So this morning, we're going to talk about feeling empty. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and then I just want to tell you some stories. And then we'll eventually get back to the scriptures and really unpack it. This scripture is John 4, 3 through 5. If you're in an online campus, make sure to download the app. You can follow along with the scriptures there. Everybody else, the app notes are available for you through the app, or the sermon notes through the app. But it starts in John 4, verses 3 through 15. So he being Jesus, left Judea and then went back once more to Galilee. And it says this, now he had to go through Samaria. And by the way, if you've been around church any length of time, you've probably heard a sermon on the Good Samaritan, the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. You've probably heard this, and some of this may be repeat to you, but I find it interesting that every time I read this sentence, it says that he had to go through Samaria. Here's what you don't know if you're not kind of a Bible studier, is actually you didn't have to go through Samaria. Jews would on purpose, and this is kind of the common number I kept reading, they could take a three-day journey around Samaria. Because the Samaritans, they bastardized the Jewish faith, set up their own temple, own priesthood, and they said they were able to talk to God. But for real Jews, no, we have the inroad to God. And they were so offended by, broken away from this Samaritan people, that the Jewish people would actually walk around the entire city so they would not have to interact with any of these Samaritans. But what Jesus said here, or what's recorded for us, it says that he had to go through Samaria. Which makes me ask this first question before we get into the feeling empty. And that is this. What do you keep working around that God wants you to work through? Because there's a chance you're struggling in your spiritual life because the one thing that God wants you to work through, you keep trying to find how to work around. And here's the crazy thing that we do as Christians. We spiritualize it. Right? We rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, Satan, get behind me. We do all these things. But the fact is, this one place in your life, there's a chance Jesus no longer wants you to skirt the issue. He wants you to confront the issue. He wants to move through it. And so are you feeling empty in life because you continue to try to set your own pathway up and what you want to do and what you want to accomplish? And God just says, listen, stop wandering. Walk straight. I'm like, there it is. This is what you have to go through. And so in our life, there are going to be things that we have to go through. If you don't believe Christians go through anything once they get saved, I encourage you to read all the epistles or letters. Let me say it that way. All the letters that came after the book of Acts. And most of them start or say something like this. When troubled times come your way, or when conflict comes your way, or when disappointed. It doesn't say if you're a good enough Christian, you can avoid these things. It actually says, nope, plan on it. Pull out your day timer, write it down. Who writes in a day timer anymore? If that's you, we're going to have, oh, okay, there's one. We're going to move on. Can't do that joke, sitting too close. Here we go. So in verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. So this takes us all the way back before the tribes of Israel were even gathered. This dad dug this extremely deep well that had been feeding water for generations. Jacob's well was there, verse 6. And Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well because it was around noon. And when the Samaritan woman, and by the way, at this point, scholars speculate that he probably was already walking for 6 to 7 hours. So he's tired. He's been doing nonstop ministry. One of the reasons he left is there were so many baptisms happening that they said Jesus is now baptizing more than even John the Baptist. But the fact of it was the disciples doing it, not Jesus. But regardless, a lot of ministry that's happening. And so Jesus, tired, sat down by the well. And it says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Because in verse 8, it says this, his disciple had gone into town to buy food. I find it, so let's just make sure we have the picture here. So Jesus, he is so tired from his journey, he needs to go just a little bit further to get food, but he sits down and says, I'm exhausted. So you could say, well, Jesus knew that he had to be there in order to be by this Samaritan woman. But the Bible tells us this, that he was so tired, he had to sit down. Has there ever been a place in your life where you're just so exhausted, you don't want to just keep moving? You feel empty. And it could be a couple things. It could be because you're hangry. Everyone knows what that is, right? Half my family suffers from hangriness on a regular basis. It's a real disease that doctors got to come up with medicine for. So, like, there is a chance it was that. I also wonder this. Is there a chance Jesus needed to break from the disciples? It doesn't say it in the Bible, but am I the only one that every once in a while just get peopled out? And by the way, if you're too exhausted to even raise your hand at that, I get it. You're in a big crowd of people. You don't want someone to look at you right now. Like, you just get peopled out. And then if you read about Peter, there's a chance the guy just never shut up. There's a chance he just was talking all the time. And Thomas and all different ones always debating on who gets what seat. And there's a chance Jesus came to this well and said, man, you guys just go on without me. I'm calling a quick timeout. But however or why ever Jesus was there, we do see this. The physical man of Jesus gets tired just like we do. But unlike us, Jesus, I believe, gives us a blueprint on how we get refilled. Because so often, we try to refill ourselves with anything but the water that we should. And so Jesus is now sitting by him, sitting by this well. A Samaritan woman said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? See, because at that time, as I mentioned, the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. And she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than the father of Jacob who gave us this well and drank from it himself as did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus said, listen, I'm trying to tell you this. There are things in your life that you're going to keep going to try to get filled, but the only thing it's going to do is empty you out. I am trying to tell you there's a way in your life to be filled or fulfilled. And in doing so, you'll never crave again. So she's talking about this earthly well, trying to drink to satisfy her flesh. And now this celestial being is trying to tell us, listen, I'm trying to talk to you on a higher level. I'm trying to talk to you about your soul craving at this time. Because everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give you will become as in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said, I'll take that. Right? And if I said to you right now, there's a chance that you could get filled today when you are feeling empty. Because let's be honest, our goal can't be, I don't want to feel empty, I don't want to feel empty, I don't want to feel empty. That's an impossible goal. How do you, not feeling empty means anything that you shoot at can fill you up. But what we need to look at is, I need to be filled in a healthy spiritual way. Right? And so here's where I say, have you ever felt empty before? Thursday, May 11th, 8:20 a.m. is when this sermon came together. Because, as I mentioned, It seems lately, every time I bring up a subject that I feel like God's wanting us to preach on, God thinks it's a good idea to take me through a process first. And so it happened on that day. Everything in my life was pointing towards I should be filled. I should feel fulfilled. It was like 2 weeks ago, we had a man who stayed home because of an injury that he had in his shoulder, like could not even get out of bed. His back was hurting so bad. We were doing worship. In the middle of worship, we came up, a part of our interactive worship, and said, if you're sick, if you need a touch today, just raise your hand. People around you are going to be praying. And he was at home, laying on bed, watching on his phone. And then all of a sudden, he realized, you know what? I need healing. So in his bed, he went to raise his arm to just kind of say, this is me. As he raised his arm, he was able to completely sit up and get out of bed. Healed at home through prayer in that camera. Right? That should fill you as a pastor that miracles are happening in your church. And you can't say, well, this is psychosomatic. And he was, no, listen. He was just at home barely paying attention. Right? He was just at home and just said, wait, this is something I can reach into. But by the simple act of reaching, 2 weeks ago, I think it was right before our Sunday night worship that we were going to have here. We had a lady that's only been a part of our community for a few weeks. And she said during worship, it was like the heavens opened and she watched a stream of light as almost like an angelic host just started flooding this place. Man, I don't know how you get to see that. But I'll take it that you did. And do we want it here? Absolutely, we want an open heaven. And we had so much as an open heaven that if you fast forward to that night when we were in our worship night, we had, it was almost more kids, more young people than adults. Which, by the way, hey, old people, I'm fine if you didn't come. The young people got your back. Like, it was just an awesome, awesome night of worship. But there was this time that I was standing next to my wife, and I pointed out there was a young lady standing right over here. Worship was going. No kids were playing with each other. She had her arms out, tears running down her face. And I leaned over to Tuan, who was standing next to me, and I said, hey, if you ever wonder why we do what we do, there it is. That young person got to touch God for the first time. When it comes to the finances of the church, they're doing great right now. This last month, we have more people in our growth track. This is how you really connect with the church than even pre-COVID. Like if you look at all these different things, you would have to say, David should be fulfilled. My wife doesn't want to kill me. My kids still kind of like me. Like even at home, it's going hang on 1 second. You didn't want to kill me right now. Not today. Yeah, not today. Even today is a good day. Like by tonight, I'll ruin it. But right now, like everything should be good. But something, I remember that Thursday because I woke up that Thursday morning. Have you ever had this happen in your life where you're just mad at the world and you don't know why? Yes. I was furious. This is weird. I was hoping someone would cut me off as I drove that morning just so I could experience road rage. Like, I was ready to point them to heaven. You know what I mean? Like, just, what were you thinking? No, like, but here's the funny thing. I can't have road rage because my horn doesn't work. True story. I have to roll down my window. Honk! Like, yeah, like, it doesn't work at all. So I can't really experience road rage. But even my workout partner that I go and I'm with in the morning, this was the first morning I said, hey, do you mind if I just leave my headphones in? Because the last thing I wanted to do was talk to people. I hope you're okay with your pastor telling you this, because I didn't care about people. I didn't care about feelings. I don't care if your mom just died. Like, I'm mad, and I want to be me. And so I put my headphones in, and I turned on Christian music. No, I didn't. I turned on the other music that gets you pumped up and want to move stuff, right? And so I'm it's so incredibly angry. But to say, here's why it was, I couldn't tell you that, but here's what I know. Everything that was great in my life, nothing seemed to be filling me. And how could I not be filled? The family is healthy. The church is healthy. Just so you guys know, here's a stat for you. The average church in America right now is 65 people. And I mean, just take a look around. Look in our online community. We're more than that. Truth be told, we're in the top 11% size-wise. I mean, if you want to know numbers, that right there, you can go, oh, God. Like, how could you even bless us this much? I found out this last year, a year ago, 50% of Christians say they read the Bible 3 to 4 times a year. And that's considered a Bible reader nowadays. In 1 year, it dropped by 11% to 39% only claim to read the Bible 3 to 4 times a year. If the current kind of trajectory that we're on as a nation, Christianity has been the number one faith in America, in 11 years, it will no longer be Christianity, it will be Muslims. But then I look at our community and I'm like, no, we have people that read the Bible a lot more than that. We have this invite. You guys do something crazy. You invite your friends to come here to check us out. Like, you actually love the church. You love what we're doing. All of this is great. I'm healthy. I'm probably physically the best shape I've ever been in my life. Like, all these things are good, but I woke up this morning and I was mad at the world. And I'm asking God, why can't I be fulfilled when everything around me seems to be like it should be filling me? So I go work out, I come up to church, and I put on my good Christian faith. It's because I have to work at a church, and so I'm trying to behave while I'm here. 8:20 in the morning, there's a knock on the front door, and the first thing I thought was, oh, God, like, I got to deal with a person. Sorry. No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. I would have known because you would have wrote it in your day timer. Seriously, get a Google. So the night before, we have a men's group that meets, known as WIT, Warriors in Training. And one of the challenges that they threw out there, I hope you guys are okay. I need to tell you, you're not alone if you feel empty. But I feel like I've been given some insight of how to be fulfilled. So knocks on the door, opens up. It's a guy that I know, and truth be told, I was happy to see him. So what's going on? He said, well, last night we were challenged to ask someone how their week is going and to pray for them. So we come, we sit down, we start chatting. He goes, tell me how your week's going. This is where I have one of two options. Either say, fine, which, by the way, 99% of the time, that should be your answer because no one cares. But this 1%, I'm just trying to help out society, trying to help out society here, okay? When you're at the store going through the line and someone goes, how you doing? They don't care. Just say fine and move on. Swipe your card, move on. But at this 1%, he goes, tell me how you're doing. I went ahead and told him. I'm mad. I don't know why. I'm frustrated. I don't, you know, just kind of debrief the way that I did with you. And it was interesting, through my transparency and vulnerability, there was ministry. And he said, here's what we were asked. He didn't try to counsel. He didn't try to give perspective. Here's what he did. He goes, well, I was asked to pray for you. And I sat there right in the hospitality, right through those doors, just sat back there that morning. And I remember just being overwhelmed with emotions. And that's when I say, at 8:20 on that Thursday morning is when the sermon came together. Because if we go back to the scripture, we see this. Jesus has this conversation with this woman by the side of the well. While she's there, he goes, hey, go get your husband. She's like, well, I'm not married. He's like, no, you're right. You've already been married a handful of times, shacking up with a new guy. He ain't even your boo, you know, but you got to get this figured out. How did you know this? You must be a prophet. Like, all of a sudden, this lady gets radically saved and goes back, and history actually tells us she became an apostle of that area and led the region to the Lord. That's what history tells us, not the Bible. History tells us. But meanwhile, his disciples, who had come back from buying McDonald's chicken nuggets, are trying to give Jesus some food. His disciples urged him in verse 31, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples, trying to figure out what it said, why he was saying that, could someone else have brought him food? And then Jesus gives us what I believe was the answer that I was needing. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. So on this day, one of the things that I realized was David just needed poured into. There could be a time in your life where you're not being fulfilled or you feel empty, and that's because you're not pouring into yourself. Probably what you're doing is you're either allowing the wrong people to speak into your life, or you've gone to the doctor of your own psychology, which brought you to the problem that you're currently sitting at anyway. And you think you can reason inside of your own head how to get out of this problem. But the fact is, you're the problem. You're the reason why you're here. And so we sit in our self-loathing thinking that if we hear long enough and if we process it long enough and we feel enough pain, then we can move out on the other side. Here's what I'd like to say to you. No, you need to get someone else's backhoe to dig you out of that versus sitting in it yourself. And it was amazing what it was when I let down my walls of trying to be the pastor that has all the answer to the guy who came and just talked to me. When I let down all the walls and I just said, here's how I'm really feeling. It was amazing the living water that was willing to be poured out to me then. So I believe there's times in your life when you're feeling empty, here's what you need to do. You need to position yourself to be filled through and by someone else. And it could be a personal touch. It could be a podcast. It could be a worship set. But at some point, hiding in Netflix, thinking you'll wake up the next day feeling better, you're not filling yourself with water that refreshes. You're filling yourself with a sugary substance that's pleasurable to the moment in the touch, but the fact is it's only going to dehydrate you over time. We fill ourselves with these sodas. We fill ourselves with these sweet teas. And we get a little buzz because of the caffeine. And we think we're going to be good now. But the fact is, the only thing you're doing is pulling out the necessary things that your soul actually needs. And that's refreshing from a living water. But full filled. I want to feel full filled. When someone else prays for me, I am feeling full. But the only way to be fulfilled is for me to start filling other people. So what are the two things that I believe that you need to do in order to not feel empty inside? One, the number one target is, what are you filling yourself with? Who are you filling yourself with? What entertainment are you filling yourself with? But then the second thing I would say is, who are you filling? Because you can't be fulfilled if the only thing you're ever trying to do is fill yourself. So now you're just going to take and you're going to take and you're going to consume and you're going to consume. You're going to listen. And you wonder why you don't feel like you're having impact in the world or why you're still feeling empty on the inside. This thing that God gave us wasn't meant for only us to consume. I was meant to take this thing so that I could give this thing. And Jesus, who's physically exhausted, I'm going to guess mentally wiped out, could be emotionally taxed, because if you read about his disciples, they can do that to you. And if you don't know how that feels, go babysit six kids that aren't yours. You'll know what Jesus feels like. And in all this place of, can I say it this way, desperation that Jesus is living in, if you fast forward at the end, he goes, I don't need natural food because something else has filled me. What filled him? Pouring out into other people. Giving to someone else. In the life of a Christian, you will always feel empty if you don't have a personal ministry where you intentionally give to someone else. And by the way, I'm not about to say, oh, don't forget to sign up for our serve teams. Like, this isn't some push to say, we need ushers, we need nav kids, we may need all these things, but this is just the reality of life. To be fulfilled, you have to get full and you have to fill someone else. You have to get for yourself and be refreshed, but if the only thing you do is consume and consume and consume, your pot will eventually grow moldy. Your pot will eventually become corrupted. Because it isn't, this thing called the gospel isn't meant. Are you guys with me right now? I feel, just so you know, I feel like I'm preaching a lot better than you're listening. The fact is, if you don't have a place of personal ministry where you pour out, the only place you ever pour is into yourself, which makes you God of your own life. I worship God by serving you. So if the only person I ever serve is me, who's really God? It is a part of our DNA. We were created in his image to give. And I keep feeling empty, but I bought the latest toy and I got the latest book and I went to the next college course and I did this and I'm trying to fill and I'm trying to fill and I'm trying to fill. But there's nowhere in my life where I invest in someone else. You'll never feel fulfilled. Because we have to full and we have to fill. We ourselves have to position ourselves on a regular basis to be filled by God, because that's the only living water that we will ever be satisfied by. But then when we're full, what do we do with it after that? And by the way, I'm going to prove this to you. Ready for this? Has anyone in here, and by the way, if you're online, I need you to type yes to this, okay? I need you to type. Be loud and bold right here. Is there anybody who's ever been on a missions trip or overseas or gone to a food pantry or worked at a soup kitchen? If that's you, raise your hand. Nice and high, nice and proud, okay? Ready for this? Now listen, no, leave your hands up. I need this, because this is a test right here. I'm either going to be right or really, really wrong. Okay, chances are, all the hands up, if you've never done this, all the hands up. After you did that mission trip, which probably cost you money, which you probably sat on toilets you swear you'd never sit on, you drank water that you probably shouldn't have drank, you might have, you know, just lots happened, right? How many of you ever finished a mission trip and as soon as you got done, you hated that you went and you regret it? If that's you, leave your hands up. Okay, like none. Here's what I've learned over time. When you put yourself out for those who are less fortunate, or if I can quote the Bible here, those widows and orphans, there's never a time that you don't feel fulfilled. Where oddly enough, the only thing you did was pour out. But Jesus is telling us about this well that he didn't need a bucket for. He didn't need a rope for. He just needed a person. And that person is us. He wants to fill us so that we can turn around and fill other people. So today, when we ask the question, I want to stop feeling empty. Nothing in my life changed between the knock on the door and the prayer. I still had the church stuff, still had the family stuff, still had David stuff. But what did change was I started putting something else inside of my soul, which changed everything. That's when I started feeling full. And then I realized God did that for me so that I could come up here today to hopefully fill you. Here's what I'd love to do in just the next couple minutes that we're together. Let me just pray for you. Let me just take a couple minutes. I'm not in a hurry right now. I don't have anybody coming up to play the piano or just, it's just you, me, and the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you are feeling empty, if you're here today and you're tired of the anxiety, you're tired of the depression, you're tired of the mental battles, you're tired of the spiritual wars that you're going through, let me just do this. Dear Heavenly Father, move. God, I don't think you positioned yourself at a well just to frustrate this woman, but I believe you positioned yourself at this well to fulfill a craving that she didn't know she had. So Lord, this morning, as we metaphorically are just sitting by that well, I begin praying that the living water that I believe that I've experienced becomes fresh to someone else today. I pray for those of you that have began a spiritual journey. You're not sure where this journey is going to take you, but I pray that right now you get a touch of what true faith is all about, and anything less than that becomes dissatisfying to you. There's some of you that are praying and stretching and asking about God, about your future, but it's so unknown to you, you're becoming frustrated. You're becoming disenchanted with the thought of pushing one more time. I pray today that you get insight to purpose, that you were created on purpose from our God, and that you be filled today with fresh new. There's a lot of parents here. I know summer's coming up. You've been pushing for a season. The grace for this season seems to be coming to an end. I pray that your anointing for parenting does not wane, but you view this as a time to invest in them, not just who you are, but whose you are. I pray for a filling for the parents. Right now, I want to also pray for those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're actually sitting in a moment where Jesus revealed himself to this lady at the well. And in revealing himself, she gave her life to him. And here's what that looks like. It's realizing that we are a sinner. We're falling short of what we've been called to do in life. But there's one person that can raise us up out of our dirt, raise us up out of our sin. And that is because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. 3 days later, he proved everything that he said by being raised from the dead, and hundreds of eyewitnesses even saw that he accomplished this and did this. And then 40 days later, he left the earth, or 50 days later, he left the earth, but then he came back in the form of his Spirit to live with us, walk with us, and talk with us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're listening to us online, I'm going to ask the people in the room to raise their hand. I'm going to ask the people in our online campus to click a button. But if you're here today, eyes are closed. No one's looking. It's just you and I talking. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, could I just ask you to raise your hand just so that I can see that you are making that decision? And as decisions are being made here in the auditorium, same question is going out to you in our online campus. But those in our online campus and those with us in person, could I ask everyone to say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today is the day that I lift my hand, that I raise my voice, and I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Become king of my life. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every decision that was made, every hand that went up, every recommitment of life that someone gave. And we say this, God, fill them. Every person on the sound of my voice, fill them this day. And where our mind or the enemy or the past tries to come in and recycle an old narrative, we crush it today, God. And we just say that you are the living water. So fill us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, say amen. Could you also do me another favor? Let's put our hands together and celebrate with those that made that decision for the first time. Hey, if you're in our online campus, just because you're in our online campus doesn't mean we don't want you to connect with us. I know we got our moderators there. If you need prayer, if you just want to stay around and chat, make sure to stay online with us and communicate. If there's any needs that you have, or we'd love to help you connect with us in a deeper way. Those online monitors can help you do that. But for now, God bless you. We'll see you next week.